There's so many things.
There's so many things. I mean, now, right? I mean, your kids are the... Good morning, everybody. It's House Smarts Radio, 877-213-4LOU, 877-213-4568. That voice you heard is Lindsay. She will say good morning when you call our phone line. I can help you with anything you have going on in and around your home. Good morning to Don, and good morning to Kevin Wells sitting in this morning. Good morning, gentlemen.
Good morning.
Good morning, guys.
How are we doing? Kevin Wells, utility player. He is all over the field, right? He is.
Yeah, this
news,
is my first
traffic,
time. First time here on the sports desk, so happy to be here. Pretty fun. Filling in for the talented Andy Mazur, who's on paid vacation out in East Lansing today.
Right, exactly. Somewhere I have a sounder that's from Bull Durham that Lindsay sent me. This is a simple game. You throw the ball. Yeah. You hit the ball. You catch the ball. Anybody remember that scene? That's good. Anyway, nobody. Crickets. I have that sound.
It's from... I'm just blanking on it.
Yeah, I gave it. I said it as I said it. It's from Bull Durham.
Oh, yeah.
Bull Durham, that is it.
I set it up as I played it. Good morning, everybody. All right, let's wake up. Here we go. Here we go. So Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs, probably not... I think, right, Disney has disclaimers now with some of the older animated movies.
So
right?
They got a lot of those disclaimers on Disney Plus,
Oh, they do?
Yeah, for that content, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I get it, right? Like the big one's Peter Pan. There's, I think, even a song that they deleted from Peter Pan.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
Yes. Right. Oh, now I'm thinking of it. Oh, my God. I didn't think about
that. Yeah, it's terrible. I think I am a believer in that we've got to be smart and respectful, but it is hard sometimes to put the litmus test of today with, but then, you can make plenty of examples of things like that used to happen that we don't do anymore. You're like, of course not.
Absolutely. Right. The past never looks good through the lens of the present.
Never looks good. It really doesn't. Other than
the nostalgia
pictures
stuff.
Of me in my 20s are way better than the pictures of me now.
Right. Right. And happy family memories. Like those nice ones are good.
Right. Oh my God. That is funny. Well, anyway, how can I help you this morning? 877-213-4LOU is our phone number, 877-213-4568. We've got a good Noodaloo 2 coming up this morning, and I think that we'll just start things off this morning and see how we can help people. Let's go to Manchester, New Jersey. I think it's Manchester, New Jersey, and talk with Julie. Julie, good morning. You're on House Smarts Radio.
Good morning, Lou. Good to speak with you. Thanks for taking my call.
Of course. How may I help you?
I have a large kitchen, a stainless steel kitchen sink. It's 27 by 15 inches wide, and I've noticed a lightish brown stain in parts of the sink. I've tried getting it rubbed out with Dawn on a sponge because I don't want to scratch the surface, but it doesn't come out. What can I use so I don't scratch the stainless steel sink? I do wash my coffee pots and my teapots in the sink from time to time and wonder if the acid off these pots has caused these stains.
Well, I mean, remember, it's stainless steel, so we shouldn't. It's probably just a film on the surface of it. And so here's what I would do to start with. There is a terrific cleanser that I actually discovered years ago when I was working at a bar called Barkeeper's Friend. And it is basically a kitchen cleanser, but really, for me, there's Ajax, there's Comet. I've had such success using this product to bring stainless steel back to life that it's really the thing that I recommend. And I would use that with a green Scotch-Brite pad. And so...
Now, would the Scotch-Brite pad be the sponge part or the actual... abrasive part.
The abrasive part. So you're going to get the sink wet where you have this stain. You're going to sprinkle the kitchen cleanser, the Barkeeper's Friend, right over the top of it. Let that sit there for just a couple, 3 minutes. And then with the grain, I want you to do a little scrubbing. A little scrubbing with the grain back and forth, back and forth. It'll turn into a paste, as you're doing this. And then rinse it, and it should go away. Now, if it doesn't, okay, but I think it will, there are stainless steel refinishing kits. And this is for anybody listening that has stainless steel with a bunch of scratches that is driving you crazy. There's a guy that makes...
It does have some scratches in it. It does have a few scratches I've noticed as well.
There are a bunch of different kits out there. The best one that I have found there is by a guy called Barry. And it's Barry's stainless steel cleaner. And his face is all over all of his packages. but it really does work. And it's kind of this... the best way I could describe it is, it's like a process of if someone's doing their nails, right? You got to take off the nail polish first, and then you get a manicure and they make everything look really nice. And then they put the color on first, and then they put the top coat, right on the top of it. So it's like that process. And with Barry's, there's like different levels of scrubbing. And if you take your time and you don't, like, bear down in one spot, you literally can rejuvenate the sink to look brand new again.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
No.
Go ahead.
The kitchen cleanser with the Barkeeper's Friend is going to work, but it's called Barry's. What is it called? Barry's Barry's Stainless Steel Refinisher, right? Barry, remember Barry sent us more?
Hold on. I'm
Barry's Spot.
B-A-R-R-Y or B-E-R-R-Y?
No, Barry like a name. B-A. Not Barry like not Barry like berries. Do you like berries?
Yes, I do.
Me too. You know what I love the most? I love the, not the raspberry, what's the bigger one? There's one that's like a raspberry, but it's bigger. Not a boysenberry. I love
blackberry.
Blackberries. I love blackberries. Oh, my wife doesn't like blackberries. It's funny. Just put them all on my plate. We're a match made in heaven. All right. Okay, it's called Barry's Restore It All. B-A-R-R-Y. Restore It All. And he makes all kinds of different products, but his stainless steel, Scratch Be Gone, it's called, is the best.
Scratch Be Gone.
Mm-hmm.
I could use that part of it, too, because some scratches are in that sink right now.
If he made a wrinkle be gone, we could make a fortune.
Well, there are some products that they claim do
right,
that, but
right,
I'm
right.
sure they work
right,
all the
right,
time.
Right, exactly. Who knows, right? All right, Julie, you keep me posted and let me know what happens, okay?
Okay.
Have a great
day. Thank you
very much. Yeah, appreciate you calling House Smarts Radio this morning. That's how it works. You just pick up the phone, give us a call. 877-213-4LOU is our phone number. Let's do this. We need to take a quick break, and we'll be back. It's the one where the guy, he's a singer, and he gets hit by a bus. Something happens in the world, and everybody forgets the Beatles.
Oh, Yesterday.
Yeah. That is a feel-good movie. Like, you need you need this in your life. And it's just, like, yet another example. I was watching with my oldest son, Quinn, and my future daughter-in-law, Amy, and we were watching on regular TV. You know, there's a thing called commercials that they put on regular TV. You know, but I don't think I need to tell anybody this, but you know, the Beatles wrote a bunch of great songs, and he, like, you know, they sprinkle all the different music throughout there as he's trying to remember the words to, there's like a reoccurring theme that he cannot remember the words of Eleanor Rigby, and they, you know, and they use video to kind of, like, he'll come up with something that's wrong and they'll show some bride, you know, doing the wrong thing. And it's like, no, that's not it, you know, and it's really good. Really good.
You know, another feel good?
Yes. You know the name
Sing
of it?
Sing 2.
Sing 2. All right, I'm in. Sing 2. I don't even think I watched Sing 1.
You won't.
Do I want to watch
do
Sing
it.
1?
Make a movie marathon. You won't regret it.
Here we go.
And you'll know all the songs.
All Disney, all the time. 877-213-4LOU. 877-213-4568. This is Jim in Long Valley, New Jersey. Jim, good morning. You're on House Smarts Radio.
Hello, Lou. I have a problem with the cold air in the kitchen. We have a Gen Air downdraft gas cooktop.
Yep.
And evidently, when it was installed, the sheet metal that goes from there to outside was not insulated, and we get so much cold air, like this morning, outside it's 7 degrees, and coming in the top of the cooktop, it's 29 degrees.
Ooh. Okay, so two things with this, Jim. One, right, the insulation of it would help. And let me ask you this. If I'm in your kitchen and I'm standing at the, you know, the Jenner down draft,
right,
where does that the venting go? In other words, you have a basement that it goes to and then goes out, or where does it go?
Okay, it goes outside, right above the garage door, and it's a run of about 3 to 4 feet at the most.
And can you see this? Oh, okay, so in other words, it's against a wall. It's not in an island, correct? So it goes into a wall and then goes kind of up and out?
It just goes down from the cooktop.
Right.
Goes out.
Okay.
And it's under floorboards, so I can't have no access
have no
to
access
get at
to it.
It.
Okay.
I did think that the little damper that opens and closes when it's running, I thought maybe that was stuck open, but
right.
It's not.
When it gets really cold, like it is now.
Yes.
The issue is that, you know, the convection on the metal, it actually just creates a draft, right? And
right.
And that's why you're experiencing that. Now, there is a damper. I actually spoke about this last week. There's a company out of Rhode Island called Tamtec. Or no, excuse me. Tamarack is the name of the company. But their website is tamtec.com. Okay?
How do you spell that?
T-A-M.
A-M?
Yeah, T as in Tom, A as in Apple, M as in Mary.
Got it.
Tech, T-E-C-H.
Okay.
They make a damper that is like a collapsible bladder in different sizes. And if you were to access, could figure out a way to access, actually what you could possibly do with your downdraft is if you pulled your unit out, right at the
right.
connection point where it goes into the wall, you could install this sleeve with this collapsible bladder that would solve this problem.
Okay.
So you just got to buy the right size unit, right? The right size piping. You probably have, it's probably a 4-inch, might be 6. And if you installed it there with a little bit of modification, you may have to open up the wall to do it, but that's better than opening up the floor. And if you put that bladder right there, essentially, you know what, it's almost like, if you can imagine a tube, and if I put a balloon over the top of it, like a large balloon, wrapped it around it, and I cut a slit in it, when the air goes through the balloon, you know, it opens up, so it allows the air to go through. But when the air stops, the excess, you know, material from the balloon collapses on top of itself and creates a barrier.
Okay.
Makes sense?
Right.
So
right.
that should work.
Okay. All right. Thank you very much, Lou.
Appreciate you calling, Jimmy. Have a great day, and stay safe out there and stay warm. It is cold, old. That is for sure. 877-213-4LOU is our phone number, 877-213-4568. One of the things I want to remind you is we're loading a bunch of information and new videos on our YouTube channel. So if you go to YouTube and subscribe to House Smarts, you'll see some really good information. One of the funniest things is there's a video up there on which we did kind of, like, I don't even know how it came up. How to change a toilet seat, okay? And it's been viewed hundreds of thousands of times, which is kind of funny. That's my actual powder room bathroom when you see it, right? And I never, ever read comments about stuff. But all these people have commented. Very sweet, nice comments. But one of them, you know, one of the things, Lindsay, have you ever changed a toilet seat?
No.
Super easy to do. You should watch the video. Anyway, when you take the toilet seat off, okay, now imagine your toilet right now. It's pretty clean, right? But when you take it off, underneath the bolts, it's kind of nasty. You got to clean it, right? Okay, and you before you put it all back, and you and I say this in the video, you didn't do anything wrong. It's just how it is, right? This is just how it is. And so I'm cleaning it, and then, you know, I turn back to the camera, and I'm, okay, now you do this. Well, evidently, unbeknownst to me, I wear glasses, and I cleaned it, but the way it got cut, you know, the way that the video got cut, it looks like I turned, and then I just pushed my glasses up, you know, so I could keep speaking. And some guy goes, "Oh, my God, the guy just touched the toilet, and he touched his glasses with his hands." Like, this is what people see when you're looking at the videos.
Oh, my gosh.
All right, 877-2134-LOU. We'll take a quick break, and we'll be back right after this.
Good snowy morning.
Oh, yeah, I know. That's good. We want
that. I already was out at 1 in the morning with the big double-wide shovel that I came to your Villa Park store and bought several years ago. And got the driveway cleared off. That thing works marvelous. I'm 77 years old, and it's much easier to use that than to try to figure out how to start the snowblower.
Well, I mean, you know, there's something to be said about simplicity when it comes to removing the snow. That's for sure.
As long as you don't let it get ahead of you, two or three inches works great. If it gets deeper than that, then you're in trouble.
Oh, I know what you're talking about. You're talking about the the snow. Oh my gosh, what's it called?
It came from Canada.
Yeah, it comes from Canada. It kind of looks like a it looks like a ski on its edge on both sides. Now I'm going to blank on what it's called. The snow something. It'll come to me. But yeah, it's good.
It was like $90, but it was worth every penny.
Yeah, and it's made by like a husband and wife in their garage in Canada. So I kind of love that, and it's a really a nice unit if you as exactly what you just said, you don't let the snow get too deep because then it'll you just can't do it.
Right, and the second thing was that I went to your store and got Superzilla, and it took off the permanent silver marker on my dining room table perfect. And then I thought, well, I'm going to use it on my kitchen cabinets to get off some white paint. And voila.
It's amazing.
It's gone.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that stuff works like a charm.
It really is something. That's really nice to hear. I'm glad you're having a good success with that. I've been doing some projects around our home as well. And the back door of our, what was our daughter Carmen's bedroom, whenever she would, you know, it was pretty funny because she took the stickers. You know, when you buy a sweater or a sweatshirt, it'll be the size, the sticker will say medium or whatever it is. And she stuck those all on the back of the door. And my wife has been after me to try and remove those stickers. And so I spent a little time pulling them off. But then, of course, everything, the residue, because it sat there for years, I sprayed a little of that Superzilla as I often advised to many of you. I let it sit there for a couple minutes. I used a plastic putty knife, and the wood door is stained, so I didn't want to remove any stain, and it peeled right off. Then I took a damp rag with a little dish soap and cleaned it off, and it was perfect. So it really does work. 877-2134-LOU is the number. This is Cindy calling in. Hi, Cindy. You're on House Smarts Radio.
Hi-ho!
Hi-ho!
Anyway, hello.
Yes, right. Grumpy. Grumpy's here for you. Dopey.
Okay, well, I'm kind of sleepy. I have some...
We could do this, we could do this all morning. We could do this all morning.
We could.
Yeah, Lindsay's a little gassy. Oh, no, gassy's not one of them, right? No, never mind.
No.
That would have been a funny one. That would have been a funny dwarf. That would. There's Dopey, there's Sneezy, there's Sleepy, and there's Gassy. Okay, keep going. Come on. Cindy, come on, Cindy. Let's go.
Let's get to
your question. Okay. Quit confusing me.
Okay. All right. Flooring. I will be very succinct as possible. Luxury vinyl plank. What brands do you recommend?
Well, just got done with a project on our own home and put down about 1,200 square feet of a product by a company called Johnson. And I did a bunch of homework on all this. And so there's a bunch of really good manufacturers. And Shaw is one. Cali Bamboo, I've spoken about. It's a company that makes a really nice luxury vinyl. This company, Johnson, as well. The thing is, they're all very similar, okay? And what I have found is you're going to spend, if you're in the $4 to $5 a square foot for the cost of the material, they're all generally about the same. The one thing that they'll talk about, the one thing that they'll talk about is some of them have a integrated backing on the back that provides a little cushion, and some require to put a cushion down first and then put the flooring on top of that. I'm a believer in that it should be integrated into the material itself, which makes the overall material slightly thicker, but it also makes the material more more rigid when you walk on it. One of the things that you'll find with either a laminate floor or even a luxury vinyl, you can, depending on what you're putting it on, get this, what I call a sort of a slapping effect. There may be a pocket. You know, they'll make the floor, the prep work is everything, right? So they'll make the floor as flat as possible. But initially, until the floor settles, which can take months, you'll feel, when you walk it, sometimes it'll almost feel like you're, you know, there's a little bit of a gap. And so a stronger material is good. Now, here's the other thing that they'll talk about at the flooring store. The wear layer. So on the top, remember that luxury vinyl, what you see is a photograph, right? What looks like, oh my gosh, it looks just like wood. And it does look just like wood or tile, whatever it is you choose. But then there's a film over the top that is the wear film. And they'll talk about mil.
Okay.
When these floors first came out, they were 5 mil. Oh, they got a 5 mil wear thing. Now the standard seems to be 12 to 13, which is amazing. Then you get people that say, we have 20 mil. We have 30 mil. Don't pay anything more for 30. 20 is probably good, really good.
Okay.
And but 13 to 15 is also really good. You know what I mean? So think about where the floor is going to go, how much floor space there is, what kind of traffic you're going to get on this. We have a couple of dogs, you know, so we're conscious of them running around. And it literally, we took out a bunch of carpeting and added this flooring, and it like transformed the space.
That's exactly what I'm doing.
Yeah.
So, and I'm getting a puppy in the spring. So
perfect. Love it.
That's why I want to do this. So, okay. So just real quick for installers, do they move the furniture?
Yes.
Okay. And what
you need to, you need to, average. You need to thin it out a little bit, right? That's what I mean.
Oh, yeah.
Of course. But I mean, you know, they just need enough room to say, okay, I need to move everything over to one side, and then I'm going to go, you know, I'm going to lay my cards out. And then once I get halfway or whatever, then I'm going to put stuff on top of it and then keep going. An average install, you pace, you know, if you're spending $5 a foot for material, you're going to spend anywhere from 7 to 10 installed. So all in, you're going to be around $15.
Okay. Okay, cool. And then my stairs, so I have a townhome, and you go up the stairs to the living space and then down the stairs to the, like, the family room. Mm-hmm. Those are currently completely carpeted. Do you think I should still do that, because I'm also going to recarpet a couple of bedrooms upstairs?
I would carpet the stairs.
Yeah. Yeah, that's
You don't want to use the vinyl on the stairs. It's too slippery, and you could get some really nice carpeting that accentuates the flooring. That'll look really nice, and it's a nice transition between the two floors.
Right.
And it's also gives you good security going up and down the steps.
Okay, cool. Thank you very much, and you're not dopey. You're the goat.
Hi-ho! Thank you for calling, Cindy. 877-213-4-LOU. Goat. You get it? I'm the goat. Don't you get it?
I don't get it.
Greatest of all time. The goat. Oh. Tom Brady is the goat. I don't have that sound effect. We'll be right back. 877-213-4-5-6. The thing that I couldn't remember before, the shovel, is called a snow dozer. Ed texted in to remind me. Snow dozer. We featured it. Remember? It's like a ski with two little edges on it. And it's, remember? And it's made by this husband and wife in their garage. Snowdozer.ca. I think it's Canada. Yeah, thank you.
Thank you, Ed. Did you say Ed did that?
No, he did not. It? I just, for those of you, listening to New York or on streaming and you live in a snowy area, you can find it there as well. And we can, go from there. 877-213-4-LOU is our phone number. Let's go back to the phone lines. This is April, who is in Queens. Hi, April. You're on House Smarts Radio.
Hi. Thank you for being there. You're great.
You're very kind. How may I help you this morning?
Yes, I want to know something. I want to know if I'm going to have a problem. That's what I want to know. About 8 years ago, about eight and nine years ago, I had bought a stove and a refrigerator, nice double door stainless refrigerator from a big box store.
Okay.
It was on sale, and I planned on doing renovations that never happened. And now I still have the appliances, the stove and the refrigerator. They're still wrapped up in the plastic the way that it was delivered from the store. They're inside my basement, nice regular room temperature basement. Now that I'm ready to do the renovations on the regular part of the house, is it true or not true that if an appliance has never been used and it's 8 years old, that I'm going to have problems because the wiring and the electrical gets stale or old or something? No. And I'm saying, how could that be? It's never been used. No. And I'm saying, that's the problem.
No.
That's what one person said, but I don't know if he knows what he's talking about.
Well, let me tell you, that person doesn't know what they're talking about. The only thing... Okay, so I mean, imagine that I'm Mr. Maytag, and I make a washing machine, and I make all these washing machines, and what do? I put them in a warehouse, and I hope that you buy them, and if you don't, they just sit there. Well, if it never gets used, and as long as like a mouse didn't get in there and chew the wiring, and there's nothing that got to the appliance. Nothing gets stale. There's no expiration date on there. Now, you are probably out of warranty because, when you purchased them, the warranty kicked in the day you took it home. Now, the fact that you never plugged it in, well, that doesn't matter to them. We sold it to you, ma'am, 8 years ago, and your warranty started that. So you have no warranty, but... You can use, as long as the style of what you purchased you still like and everything like that,
it
should be as good as new.
Right. Okay, well, that sounds great, because it made it sound like it's like old spaghetti. Once it's, you don't use it, the next day it starts getting stiff, the wiring, the conduction, whatever. They made it scare the heck out of me, but, I thought I'd get your opinion on that.
No.
You're saying as long as... it's not like a car sitting in your garage for a couple of years. You should start it, every once in a while to keep something moving.
So you have never connected these. They're still wrapped up in the plastic like they're brand new. The only thing that I would inspect, obviously when you're ready to use them or getting ready to use them, is unwrap them. Make sure there's no discolor. A lot of times with the biggest thing is a lot of times that plastic wrap may be a little difficult to get off, but you'll eventually get it off. And and then just inspect the wiring and make sure that nothing got at it to chew the stuff up, but you're fine.
Right. One quick question. It's related a little.
Mm-hmm.
Is it in New York City, they're passing a law that no new construction can have any gas lines. So that means if you're building a new building, they want everything to be electric. And my mother-in-law told me, wait a minute. You better hurry up and get this stuff installed, because we have the houses old. It's like 90 years old, like a lot of houses in Queens. They're not going to stop people from buying gas ranges if your house is they're not going to make you convert, to electric. So there'll always be someone be able to install
there
gas.
I got to look into that. I did hear something about that, but in new construction, there'll be a starting point. Anything prior to that will be grandfathered in. And, you know, I'm sure that the way that the laws, you know, if there's a substantial amount of work done to a building, they may make that convert. But anybody living in a co-op or living in an apartment currently that has gas doesn't have to worry.
Or a house.
Or a house.
Their house is
right,
gas.
In New York City. Sure, 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 sure. Yeah. None of that.
I think it's 2026, they said.
Yeah.
That's but when it'll they're going to cut off.
But it'll be new construction. So, you
right.
know. And, you know,
so I don't have to worry that no one's going to say I'm not installing it.
You don't have to worry. Just get that stuff installed and you'll be good to go. Thank you so much for the phone call. We will take a quick break and we'll be back right after this. Lindsay producing, Bob Ferguson pushing all the buttons. Kevin, you and I, well, you've worked with us before. It's been a while. And you have to remind me, Kevin Wells, the pride and joy of...
I am from Cary, Illinois.
So. The pride and joy of Cary, Illinois, the fighting
Cary Grove Trojans.
Right. I knew it was something like that.
We were
right.
in the news a couple weeks ago for the Fire Nagy chants from our student section. So that's probably where you've heard our high school before.
Yeah, not good. That was not good.
Yeah,
not happy about that at all, but nice to have you with us this morning. First time doing sports. It's all good?
Yeah, first time on the sports desk. It's been a lot of fun. It's,
can you believe
why
how
I got
small, can you believe how small that little sports room is?
So
Don is in like this palatial studio. Don could do cartwheels where
it's
he's...
So great.
Right?
Yeah.
Don's in there. He's got the buffet, the craft services in there.
I usually do a few lunges and sprints before my newscast.
Right. You could do a full Peloton workout there and mm-hmm. do, like when they tell you to reach to the sky, you won't touch the ceiling.
Nope.
Poor Kevin has to walk into the room. That sports office reminds me of the studio apartment I had at 18 where I had to step on the toilet to close the door.
Totally.
Well, I mean, the good thing about this
the door opens
is,
the wrong way in that studio.
It does. It's so sad.
It is unbelievable. If Kevin had a, God forbid, if he collapsed and fell in front of the door, we couldn't get in.
Oh, the paramedics are screwed, man.
Yeah. They'd be bringing the jaws of life.
Right. And the stoop. You got to stoop as soon as you walk in there. It's like a cupboard. It's like a cupboard
and,
under the stairs.
And, Kevin, you're going to lose like 5 pounds because it's 500 degrees in there.
It's the sweat
box.
Is.
It's a lot hotter in the traffic room, though. Then that's what I've noticed so far. The good thing about this studio is I do get a nice view of downtown, whereas Don's kind of just looking at
that's a fair point.
At the people walking by, as Don does his lunges.
That's right.
It's funny you mentioned doing workouts, too, during the news. Bob Kessler does push-ups between his newscasts during the week.
Yeah.
So he's got that whole space over there to do that.
Yeah. I would like to, before we get back to phone calls, I'd like to give a public service announcement, too. Do we have Apple Watch wearers on the show? I know, Lindsay, you wear an Apple Watch. Don?
No, no, not for me. Nothing, just normal watch.
I have one. I'm not wearing it today, but I do wear it, yes.
Okay. So for Christmas, we did a little upgrade for my wife, who wears mm-hmm. the Apple Watch, loves the Apple Watch, yeah. and evidently there's now a Series 7,
yes.
right, that does all kinds of, you know, help me, I've fallen and I can't get up. It even does that kind of stuff, right? So actually for, you know, folks that are concerned about that, if you have older people in your lives and you want to keep track of them, that fall protection thing is a really interesting thing.
That's
for
pretty
watch.
Good. The
yeah,
life
it's really good.
Life alert people are probably freaking out.
Yeah, right. Of course, Apple gets into it, and so that's your steps. And I even have a friend of mine who her watch noticed some sort of arrhythmia in her heartbeat that she then went to the doctor and in fact had to get treatment for this.
Wow!
Really?
From the watch?
That's amazing.
Okay, so really, Lindsay, who is like closet, well, you're not even a closet hypochondriac, it's got you written all over it.
Yeah.
But here is why I'm mad at Apple. So we have several of the watch chargers. For those that don't know, Apple's watch charges with this little disc. It's like a magnet. So like you normally plug in your phone and you plug it into the bottom, this has a little disc. It's probably the size of a quarter, and you place it on the back of the watch, and that's how it charges. The old watch chargers for the original Apple watches don't work on the new one.
So annoying.
Of course.
It's the same design, but whatever the brains of it
is. It's not even an upgraded design?
No, it looks exactly the same.
But it doesn't fit because then they can sell you another
new charger. No, it fits, but it will charge it, but it's like drips in a bucket. So you'll leave it plugged in overnight, and your battery will have 10%.
Right, right. Like charging it through a computer or something, like the power flow is low.
Exactly.
Ugh.
And I'm in no way calling my wife an old lady because of the watch. I'm just saying for those, it has that fall protection that if they were someone were to fall, my lovely young wife, who hopefully doesn't think I'm calling her old, I'm just saying that if you have someone in your life, we turn that thing off. If she falls down, she's on her own. That, like, you're young enough. If you fall down, get your butt back up. Let's go.
That's confidence.
Rub some
right
dirt
there.
On it and get out there and get your 10,000 steps before noon.
That's love.
I don't want to hear about it.
This is love.
Right. This is love. Right. Now, but this is what makes me mad about Apple. How much money do you need? You have lots of money.
Mm.
Aren't they like one of the most valuable companies out there?
The first $3 trillion valuation, yeah. I think, that
You're
there's been.
You're nickel and diming us about a stupid charger?
I know.
Come on. I will give you the $300 for your watch that tells me I fell down. Okay?
Right. Happily.
And that tells me I have a heart arrhythmia and you're going to save my life. I'll give you $400 for that watch. Don't nickel and dime me for $30 on another stupid charger.
Yeah, I can't stand that.
Lindsay, get Tim Cook on the phone right now. Call him.
Call it on the Apple Watch.
Call him on your Apple Watch. Anyway, that's my public service announcement.
Here's one quick other public service announcement about Apple.
Yeah.
If you're a hair twister like me, you're getting extra steps.
Oh, right.
You're being fooled.
Yeah. I don't know if
you're not as active as you think you are.
No one knows this, but Lindsay has a nervous, would you call it a tick?
It's not a tick, it's a habit.
Because you move your arm up and down, right?
It is.
I watch her all day long, and she probably twirls her hair during a four-hour radio show 10,000 times.
Nice.
Easily.
So your left arm is like super ripped? You have like a really ripped one arm, like a tennis player?
She's like, I don't know if you remember this, but like, remember the late, great Michael Landon? Anyone? No one would know who Michael Landon is. He was on the Ponderosa. He was in Little House on the Prairie.
Ah.
Anyone?
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
But he was also in Ponderosa. Very handsome guy. But he was a collegiate javelin thrower. Do they still throw the javelin?
Wow.
It's been canceled.
No.
Right.
Well,
unprofessional.
Anyway.
I'm sure on some
and there platforms. Was a years ago, I remember a picture of him, and he had this one jacked right arm. Because that's what he threw the javelin with.
Right.
And then his other arm was still, you know, in great shape. But it was
not
like everything.
Not like the right one.
Not right. Like the right one.
Right.
Yeah. That's my left hand. Look at this.
Yeah. She's like John Cena.
Oh, nice.
On my left side.
On her left side. And the other side, not so much.
It's like a lobster claw.
Like a lobster claw. Okay. How about we back the phone calls? I think people are hung up. Who would you like me to take? 877-213-4LOU. 877-213-4568. This is Scott calling in from Mount Prospect. Scott, good morning. Thanks for hanging on.
Sure, Lou. Excuse me. Yeah, good morning. Just had a question. I love your show, too, by the way.
Thank you.
I have a brick ranch home, and there's no, it's just cold all the time. I was wondering if there's any way to insulate these walls. They're like on furring strips, though.
Yeah.
There's like maybe an inch and a half gap between the wall and the drywall.
I would not waste your money on that because the overall effect of what you're going to get comfort wise is just not worth the expense, in my opinion. So I would concentrate on other things of the home. So you've got this brick home. Tell me about the age of the windows and doors.
Well, they're all fairly new. I have casement windows. There's two of them. They're probably 12 by 6. There's like four windows in each unit.
Right.
And they're Pella's, which unfortunately I'm very disappointed in, but that's another
another problem. But you don't, but with these, so the windows are relatively new. When you walk by the windows, it's not like, oh my gosh, these things are so drafty. It's nothing like that.
It's not horrible, but they are, you can feel cold coming through them. They're only about a little over 10 years old.
Okay. So to me, so if that's one thing where you feel those drafts, we need to eliminate all the drafts we can in the home, right? So it can be as simple as, I mean, this is something that I tell everybody to do. Take a couple of tubes of clear latex caulking and caulk your base trim where it meets the floor to the floor. because there's a draft all the way around the floor, and that will help to eliminate it. Put any kind of, you know, the insulation, there's these little insulation sheets that you can put behind the receptacles on all the outside walls. If you have drafty windows and doors, you need to eliminate those drafts. Now, you could do something like window film, or you could go and replace those windows to a more energy efficient sealed up window. The thing is, so if you were going to hire a company and you can find them that'll come out and do this insulation, you'd probably spend at least $10,000 to do the whole house. Okay. And you would have a marginal effect. In your mind, you'd be like, oh my gosh, it's so much warmer. And then a couple years later, you'd realize that, well, my heating bill's the same and it's really not that much warmer. And I just don't think you get the added benefit of it. I would almost tell you it would be cheaper for you to add a supplemental heater, like one of these, what they call the split system or the ductless heating and air conditioning systems, that you, you put the cartridge on the wall. You'd have someone, you know, professionally come and install one that does both heating and cooling for, let's say, $4,000. I'm just going to make that number up. But that, if you look at the over, so the $10,000 that you would spend to do the insulation and you're still not comfortable, you spend $4,000 on this, and yeah, you've got some added energy costs there to run that, but it'll take you a while to get to $10,000.
Okay. What do you think of this idea? It sounds kind of overkill, but actually taking out these walls in the living room and framing it out with 2x4s and then adding insulation to it.
Well,
is that a crazy idea?
I mean, it's not crazy, but there's a lot involved in that. Okay, so you take out the walls. Now you're going to build a new stud wall so that you can get R13 in there. You've got to redo the electrical so it fits into those walls, right? Are you radiator heat or are you forced air?
It's forced air.
Okay, and where are the vents as it pertains to the current wall?
They're in the
floor.
One is two are on the floor and one is in the wall.
Right. So in the floor, you got to move those vents because now the wall is going to be over the vent. So there's a lot of, you know, ancillary work that has to be done to do all that. And you know what?
Okay.
You're back to $10,000.
Yeah. Okay. Well, tell me this. If I was to do that, how do I need to put any kind of barrier on that cement block?
No. No. Your vapor barrier goes on the warm side of the wall. So you would use like craft-faced insulation on craft-faced facing you and then drywall over the top of that. So that's where the moisture barrier comes from the inside going out. You want to allow that brick to breathe, and a little bit of an air gap there actually helps you a little bit because it helps to temper the difference between the temperature that you're heating inside the home versus the brick on the outside of the home. Thanks so much for the phone call. I'm just bumping up against time. Lou Manfredini, House Smarts Radio. Our phone number is 877-213-4-LOU. We'll take a quick break and be back right after this. And our New to Lou 2 is a way to help you work safely on a ladder, but still have access to your tools, which I think is a pretty cool idea. And then speaking of tools, coming up later on this morning at 8:30, after the 8:30 news, I'm going to have a conversation with a tool library, a place you can go, become a member, and you can borrow stuff. Not just like hammers and saws and that kind of stuff. You could borrow like a canopy or photography equipment or a water bottle with a filter, like to go camping. It's amazing. That's coming up a little bit later on this morning. But right now it's time for WGN Radio News. We've talked about hair dryers and things like that, but this one is right in my wheelhouse of the things that you should be looking at when it comes to working in and around your home, in particular, working off of a ladder. Take a listen.
You go up the ladder, you go down the ladder. You go up the ladder, you go down the ladder. Anyone who's ever climbed a ladder knows what I'm talking about. You get all the way up there with your nails and realize you forgot the hammer. This week's New to Loot 2 makes ladder usage a little easier for you and, most importantly, more safe. We've actually got two products for you this week, both from the same company and both do the same thing, but two different styles. Monkey Rung has created some innovative ladder accessories designed with safety and convenience in mind to create a lightweight, easy-to-use tool that reduces ladder accidents and makes jobs easier and quicker. The Monkey Clamp is used with A-frame ladders and consists of 5/8 solid anodized aluminum with straps that are also anodized to maximum durability against wear and tear. The 3/4-inch stainless steel interchangeable attachments give you plenty of options to complete your tasks safely and timely. The attachments are like different hooks that you can hang things from, and they hold up to 15 pounds. If you've got an extension ladder, don't fret. Monkey Grip is made with the same stuff, but it locks securely through the rungs with a solid rubberized grip, hitch pin, and thumb screw. And it's rated to hold a little extra weight, up to 25 pounds. Both the Monkey Clamp and the Monkey Grip are super simple, one-time installations and can be used with your left hand, your right hand, your feet. Just kidding, don't do that. They're great for keeping your tools, paint cans, buckets, and tool bags close by. Monkey Clamp and Monkey Grip ring in between $40 and $50, so stop monkeying around and go check them out. You can find out more at HouseSmartsRadio.com.
I see what you did there. Stop monkeying around. You know, I think that, you know, part of the issue why ladder companies have gotten away from this kind of stuff is obviously they're worried about stability. This is pretty lightweight, and I think that when I like the clamp in particular, I like. You put right on the side of a 6-foot ladder and you can put a caulk gun or, you know, some type of tool that you need easy access to. There is typically something at the top. How much are they? What's the...
They range between 40 and 50.
Yeah. I mean, it's kind of an add-on to, you know, doing some work. But if you're going to be doing a lot of work on a ladder, go to housemartsradio.com and you can find the information there where you can find it. It's a cool idea, and I think you'll find it to be pretty useful. All right, let's go back to phone lines. 877-213-4LOU, 877-213-4568. This is Pam, who's calling in from New Jersey. Hey, Pam, good morning. You're on House Smarts Radio.
Hi, good morning, Lou. My question is, I have an old gunite pool, still in pretty good shape, a few chips here and there, but it doesn't leak. And it got stained at the bottom, and they've done an acid wash several times. You can't do it anymore, they said. And I was wondering, I know this pool paint, but I was wondering if Flex Seal, they have that big paint tub, would work even better.
Well, is it empty now?
Down to the, well, they'll empty it when they come to clean it in the spring.
All right, so they will. How big is the stain?
What happened was, believe it or not, way back when Sandy, Superstorm Sandy hit and brought in all that debris, and I had said to the pool people I had then, I said, don't you think we should drain this and put in fresh water? No, you'll be fine. Well, since it was an old pool, all that debris sort of stained the old gunite. It's been cleaned up pretty good, but they said they can't acid wash it anymore.
Yeah, I mean, you know, the thing is with that product you're talking about, I mean, it creates a layer, so it'll change the entire color, right?
There's a white.
No, I understand, but your gunite, it's white, but it has a little bit of a flake to it, right?
Oh, okay.
So now it's going to be a solid white.
Okay.
And then
I don't know, that would bother me. I don't know.
Right, but what will bother you is eventually it will peel.
Oh, okay.
And so, you know, you're kind of, you know, the you know, gunite is a terrific product but you know, to hear that you have had such good luck with it all these years, you know, a lot of people, I'm sure you know this. You know, oh yeah, my gunite pool, it's, you know, flaking away and I got to redo it, blah, blah, blah. Probably the only way that you're going to eliminate this, and I'm sure the pool people have talked to you about this, is they could cut out that area and then re-gunite that.
I don't think so.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not like one stain. It's like just sort of a...
It's all over?
it's all over the bottom, yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, it looks pretty good when the water's in, the sun's shining. You really don't notice it, but I notice it.
Right.
And to redo a gunite pool or the size pool is going to be about $15,000, $20,000.
Right,
so
right.
That's not going to happen.
No, no, no. And that's why, I mean, sure, you can paint it, but it's not going to last.
Oh, okay. How about even, I haven't even considered a pool paint, which is really made for pools.
Same thing. I mean, you'll get 5 or 6 years out of it, and then you'll be repainting.
Oh, okay.
So, I mean, right. You know,
I was
it's just...
It, flex steel because it does give a little more thickness, and maybe the
right.
little nicks and, you know, got little nicks and cuts. Nothing that
does,
makes the pool leak.
Does the,
thought, well,
does,
that
does,
in,
the,
so.
Does the pool get a lot of use when you're using it?
All summer.
Yeah. Look, paint is, I love paint, but when you have paint in water, right, it just, I don't care what it is. It's just, you know, it's going to eventually work its way out and the chemicals that are in there, whatever.
Okay.
So it'll look fabulous, but if you paint it, you will be on a pattern that every 5 years you're going to scrape it and pressure wash it and repaint it again. Now,
okay.
You know, and if someone came in and painted a pool, I don't know how big the pool is, but, you know, let's say it's...
It's not that big.
But let's say it's... I'm going to make a number up. It's $3,000 to do it, okay?
Okay.
Maybe it's more than that. And so if we got to paint it in 15 years three times...
Right.
We're at $10,000, you know?
Probably,
so,
I should probably do more gunite, right?
Well, right. That's the thing. So you just have to decide what's the best use of your money, how long you're going to stay in the house...
Right.
You know, the thing is that, you know, pools are a funny thing when it comes to the value of a home, right? If the person comes to buy your house and they want a pool, then it adds great value. If the person coming to buy your house doesn't want a pool, then the value is taken away.
Well, I like the pool, so that's why it's there.
Right. So then if you like the pool, and based on what I'm hearing, you should re-gunite that pool.
Oh, God.
Well, I mean, here's the thing.
I know.
If you like it and you don't want, I mean, you sound like...
I'm still paying off Superstorm Sandy.
Well, no, I understand, but you sound like a person to me, and we don't know each other, but you sound like a person that wants to do what's right.
Yes.
And that always is the best value.
Okay. All right, we'll have to see what we can do then.
All right, keep listening to House Smarts Radio. I appreciate you calling this morning. 877-213-4LOU. We'll take a quick break and we'll be back right after this. I don't know what's going on over there. I think that, you know, his new hours, he's crazy. He took all these calls about squirrel talk. He was like, hey, stay in your lane. We talk about squirrels here, okay? I mean, come on. I'm not, you know...
Wait, like how to get rid of squirrels?
I don't know. It was some crazy thing that even he, in the middle of it, realized that, oh my gosh, this is a lot of conversation about squirrels.
Taking a turn.
Yeah. He's like, what happened? And all these people were, I mean, you just said squirrels and people just called like crazy. It was Squirrel Talk. It's a new show John's having. Instead of Sunday Night Standards, it's Sunday Night with Squirrels with John Williams. It's riveting. It's sometimes you feel like a nut. 877-213-4LOU. 877-213-4568. This is Ann calling in from Elmhurst. Hi, Ann. You're on House Smarts Radio.
Good morning, Lou. I have a question about some water infiltration. I have a 2004 foundation, so it's fairly new, to support concrete. And after a really bad storm last fall, we had water coming in between the sill plate in the poured foundation, like kind of right through the fiberglass that's between the two.
Yeah.
So what would you use to caulk the outside and then on the inside?
Well, when I'm on the outside looking in, is the ground up high to that point where the home sits?
No. There's at least 10 inches between the ground. And actually, my deck is over part of this area.
Okay. Well, I don't.
The water, actually, the storm was coming from the north almost horizontally.
Yeah. So this sounds to me like some sort of flashing issue on the outside that needs to be attended to, not caulking it on the inside. The problem with caulking it on the inside, Anne, is that if that water gets in and gets underneath that sill and then you stop it with the caulking, if you were successful, Well, mm-hmm. now that water is sitting on that sill plate and it's eventually going to rot it away, even if it's a piece of treated lumber. Plus the fact mm-hmm. it can permeate up and cause a big mildew and mold issue. So what is the exterior of the home? Is it siding?
It's
is
brick.
It brick? It's brick. Brick.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, we there might be some tuck pointing issues, so it could be that the water is infiltrating up higher, like by a window or a door, and getting behind the brick wall, and then when it's hitting the top of the foundation, it can't get out. There should be weep holes, like every other vertical joint should have a hole.
Yeah, there are.
And is there,
definitely know there
and
are.
Is there a piece of rope sticking out of it?
No.
All right. Well, it probably would make sense for somebody to go with a masonry bit and open up all those holes and drill them all the way until you hit the gap behind the brick so that the water has a place to come out. Then I would also have someone check all the tuck pointing on that wall to make sure that it's tight. If there's cracks and crevices and separation between the mortar and the brick, if a storm is coming from that direction, that can be where it's coming from, and tuck pointing the brick would make a lot of sense.
Okay, so call a brick mason.
Tuck pointer.
Oh, all right. All right. And I have a second question this regarding this. I had a well-known waterproofing company come out.
Yep.
It's the same wall, the same area. And what would you use to grind off the epoxy on your inside concrete wall? You know, where they have the ports on, they said knock the ports off. But a lot of this epoxy is lumped up, and we want to paint the wall in the basement.
So you're just wanting to make that cosmetically look better?
Yes, yes. And they said it's not going to void the warranty, but it looks really bad.
It will or it won't? It will not void the warranty?
It will not.
Okay. You literally need a grinder because that epoxy is so tough. And you could rent one, or you could buy a grinding wheel to go on the end of a drill, which will take you a while. But you just need to grind it smooth. And then prime it and paint it.
Right. Okay. All right. Thank you so much for your help on this.
You got it. I appreciate you calling this morning. 877-213-4LOU, 877-213-4568. We will take a quick break, and we'll be back right after this. One other thing that John Williams was talking about that I just want to address real quick. He was talking with some, I believe, an economist or an employment expert about the great resignation and how many businesses are grappled with worker shortages, staffing issues, right, which is a huge issue. My wife and I own a couple of hardware stores, and, it's a challenge for us as well. But the bigger challenge is that everybody is sick and tired of the pandemic, and I so get it. And everybody has a short fuse, and I so get it. But what's happening is, and we see evidence of this online a lot, is people are taking it out on retail workers and screaming and yelling. And, many, whether it's a state-run issue or it's a private business, a lot of businesses are requiring you to wear masks to come in. And there are some people that are just dead set against it. And I am 100% wholeheartedly for you to have your right to do whatever you want. But if a private business is asking you to wear a mask to come into their store because they want to protect the people that work there, that's their right as well. And for you to come in and scream and yell at everybody about all that is just ridiculous and uncalled for. You don't have to shop there, and you can go somewhere that doesn't require that, because there may be other businesses that are similar that don't have that requirement. That is your choice. But we just need to, the one thing that we have to practice now more than ever is more patience, and we just have to try and be kind to each other. Okay, we all want to be out of this thing. we all want to not have to do any of this, but I feel badly for the people that work for us and work with us at our stores, because some people are just not kind. We want to sell you all the hardware that you want and that you need, and we're going to do whatever we can to protect our workers, and that's what other store owners and business owners are doing as well. If you don't like whatever, that's fine. That's your thing. Just put your mask on, come in and get what you need, and be on your merry way, or don't come in at all. You know, that's just, we want to help you, and other businesses want to help you too. I saw a sign at a place that said, it was like a fast food restaurant, and it said, you know, we are experiencing shortages in staffing like everybody else. Please be kind to the people that showed up. You know what I mean? That are there.
It's true, yeah.
And, you know, or sooner or later, the place is just going to be closed. So
right. So many businesses have. I mean, you're totally right, Lou. We've seen way too many adult tantrums, I think, the last year and a half or so.
Unbelievable. I mean, I get it. We're all aggravated. We're all tired of it. I get it. But, man, taking it out of people that are just trying to do their job, and for the business owners that are trying to protect their people, you don't like to wear a mask. Great. That's your right. Absolutely. You can scream and yell about it all you want. Just don't scream and yell at it at the people that are trying to help you, you know, make a taco for you or a burger or fries or, you know, grocery store or whatever it might be. Just be nice to each other. Okay, I'm off my soapbox. 877-2134-LOU. Not really a soapbox. Just, right, just to be nice to people. How about our next caller? We send him out a Housemarts radio hat. From our friends over at Cobblestone Remodeling, you know, whether you're renovating your kitchen or bathroom, Cobblestone Remodeling's team of award-winning designers can help create your vision. Visit cobblestoneremodeling.com or call 773-661-0606. We're going to send that hat out to Dick, who's calling in from LaGrange. Hey, Dick, good morning. You're on Housemarts Radio.
Hello, Lou. How are you?
I'm well. Thank you for hanging on, sir. How may I help you?
Well, I have a 15-year-old pergo floor that we just can't seem to get it clean. We've been using Wet Swiffer and just, but nothing else. And what can I use to get it to come back to life?
When you say you can't get it clean, has it lost its luster?
I'd say it's lost its luster, yes.
Yeah. Talking about this earlier with these vinyl floors and the laminate floors were kind of the first one of it. You know, there's a wear film on the top that gave you that luster. And after all those years of cleaning, you have just taken that off. And you're only, well, you have two options. One is you could replace the floor, or there is a company called Rejuvenate that makes a bunch of different products. But in particular, they make a hard surface, meaning a pergo floor refinisher, that is like it's basically a synthetic polyurethane to put the shine back on the floor. And they sell it at the hardware store or the home center, and it comes with a little synthetic mop head, I believe, that you put on the end of a broom handle. Take everything out of the room, clean the room, and then you're going to mop this on, almost like, you know, in the old days when they used to wax a floor. Now, this will wear out, but you'll probably get at least 6 months, if not a year, where you get that nice look and shine, and then you can Swiffer it clean, or however you like to clean the floor, for that year, and then you'll have to reapply it, you know, a year from now.
Uh-huh. Okay. Well, we'll try that.
Give it a try, sir.
That'll be cheaper than a new floor, I'm sure.
It's way cheaper than a new floor, and I think you'll like the results.
Okay.
All right.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. I appreciate you calling this morning. 877-213-4-LOU. 877-213-4568. Let's go to Dorothy, who is in Westmont. Hi, Dorothy. You're on Housemarts Radio.
Hi, Lou. Thanks for taking my call. I have two short questions. The first one is, in the shower pan, there's a buildup of like a residue from, it's probably the minerals in the water. I've tried cleanser, I've tried Crud Cutter, and I can't get it off the shower pan. So what should I use?
What is that shower pan made of? Is it fiberglass?
Gosh, I don't know.
Is it, does it look like a bathtub?
It's white and kind of shiny.
Okay, white and shiny. And this residue that you speak of, can you feel it, or is it a discoloration of the material?
No, it's a buildup. I can feel it. It's just a rough line around the edge of the pan. Like,
all right,
and I try to squeegee off the water. But it's still left residue.
Okay.
There.
This is what I want you to do. Do you own a cordless drill?
No.
Okay. I want you to spray that area with a cleaner like Crud Cutter would work, or there's another cleaner I really like for the bathroom called Kaboom, K-A-B-O-O-M, Kaboom.
Okay.
But I want you to, with the cordless drill, there is a brush that you can put on the end of the cordless drill to allow you to scrub and have the drill do the work.
Okay.
Maybe you have a friend you could borrow one from.
I can ask.
And then this drill brush, it's called. They make a bunch of different ones. They have some that's like a disc, and then there's one that kind of looks like almost like a plume. It's rounded on the front, which I really like, because then you can work in that area. Spray this with the, let's try with the Crud Cutter first. Spray the Crud Cutter, let the Crud Cutter sit there for about 10 minutes. And then go at it with the drill and really scrub it. And I think you'll get that film off. And it's a great way to rejuvenate the shower base.
Okay. And the second question was really fast. How often should furnace filters be changed with the furnace running so much during this cold weather?
So two things. Since COVID, I am now a firm believer that filter should be changed once a month. I don't care what the manufacturer says. You should be using pleated filters, not the 99-cent spun fiberglass, and you should be changing them once a month because it's going to take this airborne particulate and capture it and kill it, a lot of them, you know, depending on what kind of filter you buy, and your indoor air quality will be better. Go to the hardware store, home center, figure out what size you have, buy a case of it, and leave it in the basement.
Okay, well, I do have the Ace
pleated
filter.
Yeah, so buy a case of them and then put a reminder on your phone or on your calendar that every 15th of the month I'm going to go change it out.
Oh, good. That's a good idea. Okay, thank you so much, Lou. I appreciate it.
You got it. I appreciate you calling this morning as well. Hey, guess what? It's time now to hear from Lindsay about what's new at Builder Supply Outlet. Lindsay, but her hair is really nice, and I noticed that kind of stuff.
Oh, Shiv.
Shiv. Right?
Right.
She's not nice.
No.
You watch that show?
I do. I've seen the first two seasons. I haven't watched this one.
No spoilers. No spoilers.
Right, no spoilers. Right. No spoilers. But I've heard other people talk about this. I never want to be a billionaire. Right?
Yeah. I mean, it seems like you have a lot of options, but...
Yeah, and it's just, they're just not nice to people.
Right.
And I also think that whomever the screenwriter is, they're getting away with murder. Because when they can't figure out what to say, they just...
Swear
at each other.
Yeah, they do. They really
do. They use a certain word as an adjective, as a pronoun, as a noun. It's unbelievable how much you would never, ever talk to your parents or each other like this, ever.
Huge, but it's really woven into the tapestry of that show deeply.
Oh, my gosh. It gives me anxiety a little bit.
Yeah. Yeah, right? I know what you mean.
We were just talking about that. We need stuff to be, you know.
What did
I tell you we watched last night? There was another one. It gave me anxiety.
Yesterday.
Oh. The horse.
The Beatles one.
The dog.
Power of the dog.
Power of the dog. Yeah.
Did you watch that?
No, I haven't. Everybody keeps talking.
About the power of the dog. So we watched the power of the dog.
What's its power? Can it fly?
So I'm not going to tell you.
Okay.
It's a period piece, and. That Benedict Cumberbatch, he's good in everything. He's good.
Very true.
He's just really good. I'm gonna say it. He looks good naked. He's naked, and he's like 45. He's taking good care of himself.
Right on.
Right on. There you go. What is it? The dog? I like the dog. Don't kick your dog. Power of the dog. Woof.
Woof.
Right.
Yes, don't kick your dog. The impending sequel.
There you go.
Right. Don't kick your dog. 877-213-4-LOU. Let's take a quick call in here. Before we got to get to news, this is Jerry, Michigan. Hey, Jerry. Good morning.
Good morning, Lou. It's good to talk to you.
How may I help you, sir?
We enjoy your program.
Thank you.
1 year ago, I bought a Whirlpool Energy Smart hot water heater, and we used it for about a month, and we started smelling really a nasty smell coming from the hot water. So I listened to different ones talk, and they suggested changing the anode rod in that.
Right.
So I went and bought me an anode rod, a special one that the plumbing place said that would help with smell. And that cost me about $80, I think it was. So I went to work and took off the plastic cover that's over that anode rod, and I could not break that nut loose. Absolutely, I tried. I even tried an impact wrench, and it wouldn't pop loose. So I gave up on it. I put the rod beside the heater, and it's been sitting there for 6, 9, 8 months anyway. And I'm thinking, call Lou, see if he's got an idea how I could break that loose. Would I dare use a small propane torch to heat that maybe? I don't know. You got any ideas?
Yeah, that's what I was going to tell you, is put a little heat on there. Shut the unit off. Shut the gas off completely, right?
Okay.
And then take a propane torch over the top of that, and let's get that warm.
Okay.
And then use a wrench. Make sure you wear some gloves. You just need to be able to get it heated up enough that you can crack it to open it up. Drain the unit a little bit too, because you don't want the turn the water off, turn the gas off, release some of the pressure with the pressure relief valve from the tank itself. Then heat it up with a torch and see if you can crack it that way.
Okay.
All right.
So what? It won't hurt to put a little heat on that.
No, not at all. And you won't need. You probably shouldn't need to be able to do a lot of heat at all. And just see if you can do that, and just be careful.
All right.
All right,
thanks,
sir.
Lou.
You got it. Appreciate you listening. Very kind of you to call in and to hang on. Hey, when we come back, talking about tools, there's this terrific place in Chicago that's called the Chicago Tool Library. Imagine a place where you can basically borrow just about anything to do just about anything. I love this concept, and the lady that I'm going to talk to is just delightful and super focused on what they're trying to do for the community. That's coming up after this report of WGN Radio News. NBC5 and the very talented Leanne Trotter did a story on a company, we'll learn about it, but it's called the Chicago Tool Library. And then I was talking to Bob Ferguson, our engineer. He said, you know, Mike Steven over on Outside the Loop, which is on before our show here on WGN, he talked to these folks a couple of years ago in the infamous pen episode. For those of you that don't know, Mike Steven loves pens. It's like a weird thing that he's got going. But you can find that episode as well, talking about the Chicago Tool Library and his infatuation with pens. His wife, Jenny, is a complete saint. But I digress. Anyway, I found this super interesting, and I do remember a little bit about this, but I thought it would be really useful to revisit this again. Joining me on the phone line is Tessa Virk, who is the co-founder of the Chicago Tool Library. Tessa, good morning, and welcome to House Smarts Radio.
Thank you so much.
I am so intrigued about what it is you folks are doing, and I am also amazed at the breadth of tools that you have available for people to borrow. Now, that's a loaded question, to borrow, but tell me a little bit about the Chicago Tool Library.
Absolutely. So you hinted at this at the beginning. We're not actually a business. The Chicago Tool Library is a nonprofit. And what we are is a lending library, but, of course, instead of books, we lend folks all kinds of tools and equipment. And you're totally right. We lend not just tools that you might think of as traditional tools like saws or hammers or drills. We do have all of that, everything you would want for home repairs or gardening or woodworking. But we also have stuff like sewing machines, camping equipment, kitchen tools like ice cream machines. We have camera tripods. We have all the things that you wish you could use, but you don't want to buy.
I mean, it is such an interesting, amazing idea. Take me back to how did you develop this concept and how long have you been in existence?
Of course. So what's really wonderful is that we are not the first tool library. Tool libraries have been around kind of like how our version is since maybe the 70s.
Mm-hmm.
But public librarians have been doing interesting things with lending items since maybe the early 1900s. We love our public librarians. So when we started the Chicago Tool Library in 2019, we had hundreds of other tool libraries around the world to inspire and give us ideas for our Chicago's tool library.
Now, you're so the way it works is you become a member of the tool library, and only members can borrow the tools, correct?
Yeah, although, you know, the word member makes it seem really exclusive, you know?
Right.
But really, we want it to be as simple and easy as possible to sign up, much like the public library. Like, we do need to have your contact information,
sure,
and your name, you know, so we can get a hold of you and keep track of who has the tools, but we really don't want to collect too much information about you because we want the barrier to entry to be low. We
right.
want to make sure that no matter who you are, no matter how much money you have, that you're able to borrow things. We're not going to store your credit card information because that's a huge barrier to entry for a lot of people.
Right, right. How is it that you acquire many of these tools? I spent a little bit of time on your website and, you know, you have photographs of just about everything that you have available. I mean, you know, you mentioned, of course, you know, you can find a circular saw and a drill, but, you know, bar clamps and a water filter with a gravity bag, extension ladders, even a pop-up canopy, like if you wanted to go tailgating or go on a picnic or something like that. And many of the items, at least in the photographs, you know, are brand new in a package. How do you come about the actual equipment that you lend out?
Most of the tools that we have in the tool library have been donated by people around the Chicagoland area because, you know, I think we can all agree that all of us have at least a few things in our house that while useful or interesting items, maybe we don't use them all the time.
Oh, so, my gosh. Tessa, how many
people...
Tessa, how many hammers do you need? Because I have more hammers that I never paid for myself that I could drop off like a handful of them at least.
Exactly. So, you know, even I myself have donated a bike rack for cars
right.
and a pasta maker. There's all kinds of things that people have, and they're like more than happy to bring them to this space knowing that not only will they be able to use them, but hundreds of other families around Chicago can use them too.
Right. So is it the type of thing, you know, similar to a library with a book where, you know, for an example, I'm going to come and borrow an extension ladder. You know, maybe someone's like, man, I really could use a, you know, I'm going to make this up, a 40-foot extension ladder. You know, I use it twice a year, and why would I buy one? How long do I, when I check it out, how long do I get to use the item?
So our standard loan period for our items is 1 week, which is great. It's a lot longer than, you know, Home Depot's lending periods or rental periods.
Right.
But if folks need the item for longer than that, a lot of times you do. You borrow a sewing machine, for example. Maybe it takes you a few weeks to get your project done. you're able to renew that item. And just like at the public library, if nobody else has requested it, we'll renew it for you.
Wow. That is so cool. All right. So how... You know, you mentioned that the entry point to become a member is, you know, relatively easy. But what is the process? In other words, is there a nominal fee that is it like an annual membership? How does it work?
Yes, we do have annual memberships. That's exactly how it works. So folks go to our website. They enter that basic information that I mentioned, your name, your email address, your, you know, let us know that you're a Chicago resident, and then people pay what they can to become a member.
Wow.
And that's really important to us. Again, we're not a business. We are a nonprofit. And so our goal isn't to make profits. It's to help people. And so the way we're able to do that is by making our services accessible, and people pay what they can. People pay, you know your own budget better than we do, and
right.
we don't want to turn anybody away. So folks contribute, and then everybody gets the same service.
Do you have a mix, Tessa, of... you know, average homeowners or do-it-yourselfers or somebody that wants to go on a camping trip and potentially even contractors that take advantage of your nonprofit?
We have the most amazing mix of people that come to the tool library. We have homeowners, we have teachers, we do have some handy folks who maybe mow lawns or do little repairs for other people for money.
Right.
We have renters, we have new students. We're not that far from IIT, so we have some college students. So it really runs the gamut of people. And we have members from 95% of Chicago zip codes.
Wow.
So folks come from all across Chicago to use the Chicago Tool Library.
Right. So your location is, you said, mentioned close to IIT, so you're on the south side. And but you accept, anybody can be a member, doesn't matter where you live, you just have to come to you, correct?
As long as you live in Chicago. We'd love to serve folks outside of Chicago limits, but a pretty big service area as it is. So
we're
sticking to Chicago for right now.
I do see, because you're a nonprofit, you're always looking for support, and it appears that you're also trying to look for a larger location. Is that true?
That is true. We are on the lookout for something a little larger and closer to public transit. And as a nonprofit, we are always looking for support in the form of donations or grants. Even just spreading the word is huge for us. So it's great to do stuff like this, be on the radio. Folks can learn about volunteering or donating tools on our website as well, which is chicagotoollibrary.org.
This seems like a no-brainer for larger corporations like Stanley Black & Decker or Milwaukee Tool to get behind this. I mean, A, they could donate a bunch of tools, and B, they could support you financially. I'm going to speak for you, Tessa, because you know, the whole idea when you think about, in particular, tool manufacturers, you know, my wife and I own a couple of hardware stores, and so we sell tools. The thing that all these makers want is they want to put the tools in the hands of people using them, right? So you're like, wow, I really like this circular saw, and maybe I should buy one or whatever. And gosh, it would be a no-brainer to me for them to start donating. Maybe they already do. Do you have any relationship with some of the tool manufacturers?
We are getting some this year. We got a Bessie clamp donation, and we actually are about to get a donation from Stanley Black & Decker this year. But you're totally right. You know, when people get the chance to try tools for really low cost, we're building a whole new generation of folks who are empowered and educated and comfortable about using tools. And so it benefits everybody in the long run that we are contributing to self-sufficient, creative communities.
I love this. I really do love this concept, and I will do anything I can to help promote it, because I think that it's so empowering for people to be able to do their own things and not have to invest a lot of money. I mean, whether you need, as you mentioned, a sewing machine, a pop-up tent, or a water bag with a filter, or a circular saw, or cordless drill, chicagotoollibrary.org is exactly what it is. It's a place where you can borrow tools, become a member if you're living in the city of Chicago. Is there? Do you just do everything through your website? Are there phone numbers that people get a hold of you as well?
Going through our website is the best way to reach us, just because our hours are a little goofy, because we're kind of catering to folks getting stuff done on the evenings and weekends.
Sure.
So if you email us or go to our website, that's the best way to get a hold of us.
Tessa Vierk is a co-founder of Chicago Tool Library. The website is chicagotoollibrary.org. Tessa, thanks so much for taking the time this morning. I really do appreciate it.
Thank you.
You're listening to House Smarts Radio with me, Lou Manfredini. We will take a quick break, and we'll be back right after this. We're having a show within our show. Let's get back to the phone lines now. This is Don, who's calling in from Palatine. Hey, Don, you're on House Smarts Radio. Good morning.
Good morning, Lou. Thanks for taking my call. I got a question about my furnace. My furnace is about 6 years old, and it was working fine. Now, in the last month or so, it turns on for about 10 minutes, then it shuts off, then it goes back on in about 2 or 3 minutes. On and off, on and off. What's the problem?
All right, a couple things. When's the last time you had that serviced?
Before the winter time.
Okay. When's the last time you changed the furnace filter?
I change it every time it's dirty. Every 3 weeks, 4 weeks.
Okay. All right.
4 weeks.
Okay. Because a clog filter can cause what's happening to you, what's called a short cycle. There's also a limit switch that's part of it. And it sounds like that could be what's causing that short cycling, where when it turns on for the 10 minutes, does it provide the heat and then it shuts down?
Yes, it turns the heat when it's on, yes.
Yeah. Where you're in Palatine, Don?
Yes.
Okay. And do you have a service provider that you use that you trust?
Yeah, I have a guy that's on your what's it called? that one that's on the radio.
Okay, Dykstra or American Weather Makers, whatever it might be, or Perfect Home Services, any one of those.
Yeah, Perfect Home Services.
Okay, have those guys come back. It could be that you have a bad limit switch or some relay that's not operating properly. That short cycling is a telltale sign for that. It's probably some device within the furnace that needs to be replaced.
Lou, I called the Home Sweet Home last Saturday for Dykstra's furnace. I spoke to a guy there, and he told me that it might be the thermostat.
Well, no. I mean, it's likely, but I mean, if the thermostat. Well, let's you want to try the thermostat? What do you have it set at right now?
72.
Okay. When we get off the radio, and one other thing, is it work? In other words, what it's doing, this cycling that you're talking about, is happening even now, like it's been going on all day?
All day and all night.
Okay. When we get off the radio, go to the thermostat and turn it up to 80 degrees. And so if it keeps working to try and get it to 80, then it could be the thermostat. But if it short cycles back and forth there, then I doubt it's the thermostat.
Yeah, because, well, whatever the guy from Dykstra, he said that the thermostat is not contributing to the cycles in the furnace or something like that.
Yeah, well, I mean, I'm not going to. You know, I don't know what was said, so I'm certainly not going to be more of an expert than the people at Dykstra Home Services, but the way you could test this thermostat thing is crank it up and see if it stops short cycling. If it still short cycles, I would just have a service provider come out and take a look at it.
Yeah, because one other thing that the fan I got it set in auto, and it doesn't go when the furnace turns on.
Got it. Call somebody to come out and take a look at it, and that's your best bet. There's something internally going on that needs to be inspected by a technician that has the right tools and more experience than me to be right there in the front of it to get it all fixed for you. Appreciate the phone call. We need to take a quick break, and we'll be back right after this. First of all, I was looking. Could you come up with all the names of the seven dwarfs?
Let me see.
I have a list in front of me.
Oh, you do? Okay. Well, I was going to say, yeah, Doc, Sleepy, Bashful, Dopey.
Yep. Yep.
Sneezy.
Yep.
And then now I'm blanking.
Okay.
I got
you're
five.
There.
Grumpy.
Oh, huh? Thank you. Yeah, Grumpy.
Grumpy.
Yeah. So it's
and
Grumpy.
Happy.
Grumpy, Grumpy, Dopey, Doc, Happy, Bashful, Sneezy, and Sleepy.
Nice.
And Dopey was supposed to be a speaking character, but then when no actor was picked to play him, they decided to make him not speak. And then we were joking today, like, what other names would be like the lost dwarves, right? And so we thought Tootie would be a funny one.
Hmm.
And then Stumpy would be another one. But then there's a whole list of other dwarves that didn't make it. Okay, there's like a whole list of names. So some of the dwarves' names was Silly, Sappy.
Wait, is this for real or is this like a joke?
It's like a thing. It's, you know, people on the internet, right? Sappy, Scrappy. Snappy, Goopy.
Oh, God.
I mean, think about what they would do. Gloomy, Gaspy, which is not gassy.
Right.
Gaspy, Gatsby, Gabby. One of my favorites, Flabby. And then, of course, followed by Crabby, Cranky, Lazy, Dippy, Dumpy, Snuffles, Dirty. This is not nice. Deffy, Gaffy.
Oh,
Doleful, Woeful, wistful, soulful. That would have been a fun one, right? Soulful, like, right? Could have been played by Don Cornelius, right?
Right.
That would have been cool. Helpful, that would have been a good one. Awful, tearful, tubby, weepy, wheezy, sneezy wheezy.
Wow, that guy's got a rough go of it.
Yeah, there's a whole, I mean, there's like a, the list goes on and on and on.
Right, every adjective we could possibly have, like, there's like hundreds of dwarves.
And then, of course, Baldy and Burpee.
I like those.
Belchy.
Baldy Belchy. And Burpee. So that's the seven dwarfs.
All right.
We were talking earlier this morning how the Disney shows now all have to have
disclaimers
with all that stuff that was, you know, not nice to say. 877-213-4LOU is our phone number. 877-213-4568. Let's go back to the phone calls now and talk with Debbie, who's calling in this morning from Darien. Hi, Debbie. You're on House Smarts Radio.
Hi, Lou. I have a question. We have a 14-year-old furnace that's American Standard and has an AccuClean air filtration system, and the electronic furnace filter doesn't work. So we had it, because the green light's not coming on. We had it serviced, and he looked at it and cleaned the contact points, and it still didn't work. So the guy said that we would probably need to replace the electronic filter, but it's very expensive. So one question is, how valuable is that electronic filter? There are a couple other filters in the system. But he also said we could get a regular filter that fits in that place and put it in if we wanted to save money. So I had a question about what's the advantage of the electronic filter. My husband thinks that the latch on it is a bent, and it just doesn't have good contact from that, and it doesn't close properly because he taped it for a while, and it was able to close. So I have a few questions on the electronic filter for the furnace.
Okay. If you're going to do some type of mechanical filter system now, and based on what we've learned, you know, with this virus we've all been living with, is that I would invest, if that's what you want to do, is invest in a whole house air purifier. And there's several manufacturers that make it. Train makes one, who makes American Standard. Carrier makes one called the Infinity Air Purifier. We, the Manfredini family, has had the Infinity Air Purifier on our furnaces probably for, I don't know, the past 12 years or so. There's a mechanical filter that is proprietary, that's very expensive, but then it's surrounded by electronics to autonomize and to charge the particles as it hits the filter for the filter to catch it. So it's almost like the system is supercharging the filter to grab stuff. Now, all that's great. A unit like that installed is probably, you know, $2,400. It's not an inexpensive proposition. But if you were to install what's called a media filter in there, which would be 100% mechanical, you know, so it'd be like a 4-inch or a 5-inch wide filter. Mm-hmm. The whole idea behind, when you have the wider filters, there's more surface area for the air to pass through. And the fabric that is used, it's already positively charged. And you can do kind of good, better, best. When it comes to those filters, there's something called the MERV rating. And the MERV rating is how much resistance the filter has as the air passes through it. So, for instance, probably in a media filter, one of those 4-inch filters, like 1,000 MERV rating would be something that, you know, does a really good job, but allows, you know, the most amount of airflow to go through. As that number goes up, 2,000, 3,000, all the way up, I mean, I think it all goes all the way up to 5,000, I believe. But that captures more of the particulate. And those do a pretty good job. Those filters, if you bought a 3M Filtreat, which is what they call their ultra allergen, that filter is close to $50. And you would probably replace that filter every 3 months, you know? So you're talking about now, if we did that, if we said, okay, we're going to replace that every 3 months, you're going to do it 4 times a year, basically, at $50. You're spending $200 on filters. But that Infinity Air Purifier that I mentioned, that is supposed to be a once a year filter, but I change it twice a year. That filter's $90, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, you're and you've got electronics and whatever to worry about. I think if it were me in the situation that you're in, I would just have them modify the sheet metal to allow you to put in at least a 4-inch. The most common is a, you know, like a 25x16x4 media filter. They do make a 5. They do make different sizes too. It all depends on what the ductwork is at. But if it were me, that's what I would do.
Okay.
You had a second question?
So we would
what was the second?
Put in a new filter, but have a modified one.
Have them modify the sheet metal so that you can put in what's called a 4-inch media filter based on whatever size they can make it.
Okay. So there's no advantage to just replacing the electronic filter that goes with the system.
Well, I mean, the advantage or the disadvantage of it, I mean, I'm not against it. But you're going to spend a lot of money to do that. And if you were going to do that, I'd rather you upgrade to a whole house air purifier. I mean,
okay,
you know, this unit that Carrier makes, this Infinity air purifier, I remember when it first came out and something that it was based on a military, it was developed for the military, like in secure locations, right? This filter in the system was so advanced that actually, an anthrax attack, like if somebody were to throw anthrax at a military facility, this system would capture it and trap it and not allow it to go through the system. They were never allowed to say that in the public because nobody was like, well, I don't want that in my house. But that's how efficient and how good the system was or is,
mm-hmm.
You know, and so fast forward, we're in the middle of a pandemic, airborne pandemic. We want to clean the air as best possible. To me, whole house air purifiers and, you know, make a ton of sense for anybody that has asthma or terrible allergies or terrible eczema, you know, where airborne particulate can affect you and then throw in a pandemic. Not a bad idea.
Right. Yeah. We have this AccuClean, which we got because for all those reasons you were saying,
how
it takes care of all these particulates.
Yeah.
Allergens, and it goes down to so many microns, and
right.
It's better than a HEPA filter. I still have the paperwork on it, but the warranty for the electronics ran out after 10 years, and
sure.
We're 14 years with this.
Right, right.
So, yeah. So you would, yeah. Wait, who's a good person to call to help with this?
Where do you live, Debbie?
Darien, Illinois.
Yeah, so, I mean, we've got three different companies that are part of this show. Dykstra Home Services, I don't know that they'll go all the way to Darien, but you've got American Weathermakers and Perfect Home Services that kind of work in that area as well. So any one of those three, you could contact them.
So American Weathermakers and
Perfect Home Services.
Okay.
And Dykstra Home Services is very good, too. You would just have to call if they do Darien. I'm not certain.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Well, thanks for all your help.
Have a great day. Appreciate you calling this morning. 877-213-4LOU. 877-213-4568. We will take a quick break. Be back right after this.
I have a 70-year-old home I bought about a year ago. The inside was totally updated. And the outside, I know they did some spot painting. Over the summer, paint had started peeling off on the outside. And so I went and got an estimate from a painter to do some painting. He mentioned to me that he said he's seen this before. He believes the house is not breathing, that it's a moisture issue. And that sure he can paint the house, but he feels like, you know, over time, this is going to create the problem over and over again. I guess, does that sound like a possibility? And after he did say this, I did look up on the roof. I didn't see any, like a ridge vent or any other venting. Would that be creating or a problem, or could putting venting up there fix that problem?
What is the exterior siding of the home?
It's wood.
Like a cedar?
I believe it is cedar, yeah.
Okay, so pretty grainy, right? And when you look at it, you know, the siding is in good repair, but you can see gaps here and there, right, that it has?
Between the boards, is that what you're
saying?
Yeah,
you know, like the board, I'm assuming it's a horizontal siding, like a lap horizontal siding?
Correct.
Right. So the thing is, so the breathability is important in a home. There's no question about it. You know, the paint allows some bit of vapor to escape, but yet protects the home from the outside. Venting in the attic space is very important. Is it your attic of the home? Is it finished, or is it like a, you know, there's a hatch that you can go up there and take a look?
In one of the bedrooms in the closet, there's an area that I can get up into the attic. I have not gone up there. I know they did have to replace and do some things up there when they redid the house inside.
Right.
But I haven't been up there. But yes, I can take a peek if I needed to.
And you, when you're looking from outside, you don't see any kind of mushroom vents or anything outside?
Do not. Yeah. Do not. And I know exactly what you're talking about.
Yeah, so that needs to be vented for sure. And that can certainly, if there's not an escape point for, you know, when you hear Tom Skilling talk about the barometric pressure of outside and, you know, what we're feeling in there, well, that pressure, the house feels it as well. And when we're living in our house, it's got to escape. And we need a place to go. And if it's not escaping through, you know, and naturally a house is not sealed up tight as a drum, but that attic being vented would certainly help. And I think that you'll get enough breathability from a cedar-sided home not to worry about it from the painting perspective, but you probably should address that portion of the home's the way it's built first with a roofing contractor.
Okay. Any recommendations on the
where
Geneva
are you at, Charlie?
Area?
Geneva, either Lindholm Roofing. Or you can also contact Rogers Roofing. They're both sponsors on this radio station, and they're both longtime roofing contractors that know what they're doing.
Okay. All righty. Well, I appreciate your help. Thanks, sir.
You got it, bud. Have a great weekend. Appreciate you calling this morning. It's time now for WGN Radio News. Although I do think it's funny when I talk to Siri to text someone, and she doesn't understand what I'm saying, and then I giggle and laugh because she'll say something that's not me, and then I just send it anyway. And then, like, if I send a text to you, you'll be like, Dakota Ring, what did you just say? And it was Siri saying, like, I want a meatloaf sandwich or something like that, right? Anyway, you have some text messages for me?
I do. All right. Let's see. We live in Libertyville, and our subdivision has pavers in our cul-de-sac. Last week's ice storm made them into a thick sheet of ice. Oh, Are there any products that won't damage the pavers but will melt the ice?
Very hard to find, very expensive, is liquid calcium chloride in a pump sprayer. And prior to us telling you that there's going to be an ice storm, go out there and squirt it. Won't damage it, won't leave any residue. Will have residual value, though, when it comes to the next ice storm. You'll probably put it down two or three times in a season and not have to worry about it again. Liquid calcium chloride. Hard to find and expensive, but very effective.
Next, the age-old question, paint first or put new carpet down first?
Carpet first, because they're going to mark up the walls a little bit when they're doing it. And then the painter will be very smart and put tarps down and paint to get out of there. That's what I would do.
AC keeps tripping the circuit breaker.
AC, where are they calling that they're running the AC?
I know. Well, we
next question. I don't even want to answer. That's not nice. Really? No, well, I'm kidding.
Hold on. Three AC techs have told me everything checks out okay. So I changed the circuit breaker and it still trips.
Well, then it's not okay. There is a capacitor. Well, I don't know what part of, if it's the AC, I don't know what part of the AC, this is the problem with text messages. Is it the condensing unit? Or is it the actual internal blower? My guess is it's probably the condensing unit, and there's a capacitor in there that what it does is it's almost like the way that a condensing unit jump starts, and it takes a lot of energy, the 240 energy typically, and then it jolts the compressor to get it started, and then it goes back down. I bet it's a bad capacitor in the condensing unit. If you change the breaker and it still works, then that's what it has to be. Thank you for just text me, 877-213-4LOU, 877-213-4568 is our phone number. Let's go back to the phone calls. This is Marty in Saugatuck, Michigan. Hey, Marty, good morning. You're on House Smarts Radio.
Morning, Lou. Got a question for two questions, hopefully. I recently bought my retirement home in Saugatuck, leaving the great city of Chicago. And this is my first time with, you know, well water and water softeners.
Okay.
And, you know, the water's great and everything, no problems there. But my entire basement seems to have like a salty film on it. I mean, it's on the HVAC, the copper pipes, you name it. What's going on? Well, am I doing something wrong?
And the water softener is in the basement?
Yes, sir.
And the brine tank that you have the salt in has a cover?
Yes, sir.
I mean, there shouldn't be any powder residue from anything. What the softener that you have is like, is it a dual tank? Do you know the age of the softener itself?
I know the pump was replaced a couple of years ago, which is right next to it, but it's just a one, and unfortunately I'm not there right now, but it's just a single tank for us, as far as I know.
Okay, and so you see the salty residue, you've dusted, you've cleaned it up, and then it comes back.
Well, no, I have not done that just yet, and what kind of made me discover this is, I got a little water in the basement a couple months ago, and we mopped it up, and now that part of the floor is spotless. I'm like, well, I'm looking at the rest of the floor, and I started looking around, and that's what made me think, okay, there's salt everywhere.
Inherently, a softener, there shouldn't be any salt anywhere, because the salt, you know, the salt, I mean, like you said, you have no experience with this, so... You know, the salt, what you choose to use, whether it's a pellet or a chip or whatever, goes into this brine tank. You pour it in there, and then you see, you know, you put the top on it. It's not like a mayonnaise jar, but it's tight enough that, you know, any powder, and when the softener is operating correctly, that salt actually has water in it. You know what I mean? So it's not, dust is typically not a problem. The only time you get dust typically is when you pour the actual dry salt in. But that is not enough that would coat the basement. Maybe there's some completely different issue here that they busted open a bag or something and you know, it covered the area. And the fact that you said you mopped up an area that's clean, what I would do is mop the whole place up and dust it and clean it, right? Make sure that, does your new place have forced air heat?
Yes, which is right next to it.
Okay, so let's make sure that there's no supply air blowing against the unit or a return air that's open in that basement. You shouldn't be drawing any of that air from the mechanical room into the furnace. And in particular, pay attention to the ductwork. If you see gaps where, oh, look, there's air, I can feel it like sucking in or whatever, take a little clear caulking and caulk it so you seal it. You don't want to introduce any of that damp air from the basement into the furnace because it'll affect the rest of the air quality in the rest of the home. And, again, if there's any venting down there blowing, make sure it's not blowing against the softener area that could potentially make some salt. But I think it's probably an older issue that probably has nothing to do with the softener as it runs right now.
Yeah, that's my thought was just to spend a couple hours wiping everything down, and you know, see if it comes back.
Yeah, see if in a couple weeks it comes back, and then you can maybe determine where it's coming from at that point. But I bet it's just some issue that came up that, you know, you just happen to notice now.
All right, and one other hopefully simpler question is, obviously the water system's got a filter on it, and every 30 days or so you got to change the filter. And it's plastic on plastic. Is there anything I can put on those threads to make it easier to come on and off?
Where is the filter?
Right above the water softener.
So is it like an oil can filter, or is it, in other words, is it, it's a whole house filter?
Yes, it's a whole house filter.
Okay, so it's like a, it's a plastic housing and then like a blue plastic thing that comes down that you loosen it?
Yes, sir.
And then inside is a cartridge, a filter that you take out.
You are correct.
They make a wrench for that filter. So you know how it's
I got the wrench.
But it's just too hard to unscrew?
Yeah, and it, I mean, it comes on and off.
Yeah, but...
But I'm always afraid I'm going to pop the welds on some of the piping that's around it.
All right, but now, when you look at the housing itself, you know, the part that you screw the blue thing on up with the filter, do you notice is there's a red button at all up on the top?
On the water one, there is. So, you know, there's another... For drinking water, there's one, a button, but on the whole house, there is not.
Typically, there's a pressure relief button. If there's valves on both sides, are there valves on both sides of this thing?
No, just on one side.
Yeah, so if it were me, long-term, since this is your house, and you're going to be changing this filter, put valves on both sides. You're going to shut both valves off so you don't have to drain the whole house every time you do this. But there should be a pressure relief valve on the top because it's that pressure that's holding it. And you got to reduce that pressure so you can loosen it.
I see.
So if you're going to have a plumber come and put a valve on the other side, maybe have them put a different filter assembly on there that has that pressure relief valve to make your life easier to change it out.
Yeah, I thought that might be part of it because when I do the drinking water one, that... As soon as I hit that button and release the pressure there, boy, that one comes
right
off.
Right. You'll be fighting that pressure, and exactly what you're worried about. I have a whole house filter in a house that we have, a second home, and the setup that I just described to you is what I have. I kill both valves. I release the pressure, pop the thing off, put the new filter in. I don't have to drain the whole house, and it works perfectly.
All right. I'll give it a whirl. Thank you.
Good luck. Appreciate you calling this morning. 877-2134-LOU. We will take a quick break and be right back. Who's in Dundee? Hey, Joan, you're on House Smarts Radio.
Well, all right. Thank you for the hat, by the way.
You're welcome.
Well, I have a very old house, a 1906, and it has a pocket door that is off the track. I've been trying to get someone to fix it, and maybe I've got somebody. But he seems to think that there's a broken roller or something on it. And where can we get parts?
Well, I mean, you are probably not going to find the exact part you need for a door that old. The pocket door hardware does still exist. Ironically, you know who makes a good line of pocket door hardware? Stanley. They've been in that business for a very long time. So you may, it may be that you have to replace the track and the roller entirely and then hang the door from that. It's not
very heavy. It's solid wood. It's heavy.
No. I mean, the new hardware will do it. That's not a problem. But in order to do this properly, some of the trim will have to come off to expose.
I realize that.
Right.
I do. Yeah, they're going to have to take. What about, is there a place that saves old hardware? I know when they tear down old houses, sometimes, because I've done it to save on a built-in cabinet. Anyway, some hint.
There's a couple places like that. There's a place in Chicago that's been around forever on the near west side called Salvage One. And I want to say it's like 13th and something, but I haven't been there in quite some time, but they have a ton of old doors and knobs and hardware and that kind of stuff. The other place to try is, and this would be for new hardware, but they may have something similar, but you'd need to know what you're looking for. It's a place called Blaine Window Supply. B-L-A-I-N-E, right? That sound right?
Yeah, I'm writing it.
Blaine Window Supply, and they have a website, blainewindowsupply.com. B-L-A-I-N-E, Blaine Window Supply. She's looking.
B-L-A-I-N-E.
Okay. Yeah, I-N-E. Window. Blaine Window. Okay. And they may be a source for you for a certain piece of hardware that may fit.
Okay. This is a problem with
right.
anything in this
right.
house.
Well, and when they're old, right, and the old stuff like that, many times it just might be, Joan, easier to just replace the whole set of hardware. Then that's new. It'll hang the old door. That's not a problem. And once it's all put back together, quite frankly, you won't even know what's there because it's all hidden.
Of course.
Yeah.
Yeah. I realize that. Elgin has very, very old houses.
Yeah.
How do they go also to maybe this place for some of the parts?
They may, and there may be a place out in Elgin that I'm unaware of. I'm familiar with this Salvage One place. So
this one.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, okay. I thank you very much. It would be nice, or we sort of wedged in there, but it'd be nice to be able to use it.
Absolutely. Thank you so much. Thank you so much for calling. I really do appreciate it. We'll take a quick break and be back right after this.